And this week's episode of the Colts Corner podcast, the boys will discuss some school sports, NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, some college football, and the topic of the week.
Season 4, Episode 7 of the Colts Corner podcast. Today we got some special guests in the studio. We got Ryan Dixon alongside me, Constantine Lambrius, and some Colts Corner alumni here in the studio, Mr. Douglas Latuca, Mr. Benjamin Dixon, and Mr. Brian Flattow. How are you guys doing today?
Good. I'm doing great. Not only are we the alum, I'd like to co-sign the Founding Fathers nickname for the three of us, and Mac Old, of course. But I'm just kidding. I'm happy to be here. Love you guys. Yeah. Great to be back.
Pumped to be here. Happy to be an alum. Happy to be a founding father. And most importantly, happy to be back. Let's get it done.
Just got to say, it is good to be back here on the Colts Corner podcast. Missed all you guys. You guys are great, and we're ready for a spectacular show. Take it away, boys.
All right. Let's get this electricity going, boys. Starting off, we got some school sports. The boys' varsity basketball team, they played on Monday against West Babylon. And they won 74-55.
Love to see it.
Yeah, they're having a great season, actually. Phenomenal. Definitely a playoff team. And they played today away at 5:30 against Eastport South. Constantine, what do we got for girls varsity?
And the girls varsity basketball unfortunately lost in a tight game against West Babylon, 47-43. They are 3-1 in their league. Yeah, you hate to see it. They are
just about to say that.
Yeah, they are 3-1 in their league. However, having an exceptional season after they finished with their rocky start of 0-2 in league and not league games. But today they're going to be playing against Eastport South at 5:45 home if you guys want to go and catch that game.
Heard it's a big game. Saw it on, I think, Alexa Hinkie's Instagram story. Seems like a big matchup, so let's get it done, girls.
You know, I'm not so familiar with the star players on the girls and boys basketball teams this year. Not so familiar with my high school sports in general. How are we doing?
Yeah, how are we doing?
Boys basketball, like I said, doing great. Girls basketball, not really sure about them, but I think they might both be playoff teams. Yeah.
Girls basketball, after getting off to a rocky start, 0-2 in non-league games, they went on a two-game winning streak right there, and now they are three-game winning streak, and now they are 3-1 in league play, looking to make it back to the playoffs and hopefully in a higher position than last year.
All right. What do you got to say, Ben?
I was just going to say great stuff on the girls' basketball team.
Yeah.
I wanted to shout out all-grit player of the decade, Danny Albert.
Phenomenal player.
She was great for the Lady Colts last year.
Got to say, Danny Albert was an absolute stud for that team. And that league record's all that matters. Don't forget about that. Non-league, useless.
Great leader, great team player. Really just a Gruden grinder out there for the varsity Colts. And hopefully they keep playing well here and get themselves into a playoff spot and start contesting. So let's keep moving here.
I saw outside a sign, Jordan Levy, All-American. Congratulations, Jordan Levy. That's pretty impressive.
Great stuff.
Yeah, we got some great athletes
here.
Yeah,
we got a new sign outside, too. Like the poster with the, not the poster.
The scroll.
The scroll
what
thing.
What do you call that?
It's the Megatron. No, the Jumbotron. It's the Jumbotron outside.
It's a mini Jumbotron outside.
It's a mini Jumbotron, yeah. And
looks good, though.
Justin Brown recently won best running back on Long Island, I believe. So that is another accolade.
Tank.
For Hills West.
He's a tank.
He is a tank.
That's just what we do, though.
Michigan commit for lacrosse, two-sport athlete.
I mean, I'd see him in the yellow and blue in the backfield. Brian, I don't know if you want to see that for the next 4 years or next 3 years.
It's a little
actually.
Scary, Brian. Being an Ohio State.
Honestly, as an Ohio State football fan and an Ohio State student, I would not want to see my boys going against Justin Brown, but only wishing success for that kid.
You can put O.J. Simpson in his prime back there. They're still not beating the Buckeyes.
Yeah, as long as Jim Harbaugh is at the helm. No worries. No worries for Ohio State.
All right. I think we got to move on to the NFL. It is the end of Week 15 and the beginning of Week 16 on Saturday, actually. There's no Thursday games this week. Week 15, I just want to talk about that before we move on to Week 16. One of the highlights of Week 15, Texans went to Tennessee to play the Titans. Great game. Just Ryan Tannehill looking like a new QB without the Dolphins. And anything else to say about that?
Yeah, they're talking about it over here, and I think it's going to be something about Adam Gase. I'm not sure.
Not quite. Okay. On the last ever podcast that we did, so the last one in June last year, we went over the fact that the Titans had just signed a guy named Ryan Tannehill.
Never heard of him.
And Ben goes, you know what? This is more than a backup play. I think Tannehill might end up getting some time if Mariota doesn't come into fruition this year. And guess what? Ben, you were right, buddy.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill, the fact that he's succeeding in Tennessee is evidence that Adam Gase should no longer be head coach of the New York Football Jets.
That too.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I have to say
about
that.
And then on another player I want to highlight on the Tennessee Titans, A.J. Brown.
Guy's a menace.
Ole Miss alumni.
Ole Miss receivers, man.
DK Metcalf.
They get it done.
They're big, solid.
I mean, the guy would have won me a fantasy matchup this week, and I didn't play him. Really tough. Every move I could have made here in the eight man, I just didn't make this week. Tough loss for my squad. We'll bounce back next year. I figured out the league. I have figured out eight man, best record in the league at 11-3, and we'll fix the rules. We have to fix the rules.
You know what, buddy? You got to get rid of those first round picks. We were talking about it at Chipotle right before this. Your first round picks, that's where you go wrong. The late round draft picks, you kill those. Absolutely, Doug. No, I have no doubt you'll be back next year, buddy.
Yeah, I think I went David Johnson 1 year, Le'Veon the next. Kamara this year, he was fine, but not great. I mean,
not the same Alvin Kamara.
We need some studs here. Where are these guys who are going to run the ball, be a top five player for me, and let's go. I want to win a league here.
All right. we got a little rant there, but another game from week 15. The Rams went to Dallas to play the Cowboys. Cowboys' first good win this season, actually, in my opinion.
Let's give them a standing ovation.
Everyone.
Going from 0-6 to teams above 500 to 1-6. Just a monumental win for the franchise.
Yeah.
All right.
What a sad point in the Cowboys franchise right now.
Yeah, this Jason Garrett regime has just failed in every facet of what they're trying to accomplish here. They're trying to be a good team, and Jason Garrett just seems like he's fine with an okay team. Yeah,
Lincoln Riley's on the way. Lincoln Riley, or what's the Baylor head coach's name?
Matt Rhule. The beast.
He rules.
I mean, they're the definition of mediocre. Yeah. Come on now. They're such a talented roster. I just don't understand. But they are first in the NFC East. They're probably going to win the division, which is
not too much of an
ridiculous
accomplishment there.
But probably a first round out. But it just took Brett Maher getting cut for them to win a game, a meaningful one this year. Kai Forbath, good performance, brother. Way to go. Get yourself on a roster and produce. Love it.
Yeah, shout out Keish Khanna, Cowboys. Always got to bring it up.
Big Keish, man.
Just one last game I want to highlight from Week 15. Probably one of the most entertaining games I've seen this season. 49ers-Falcons. I mean, the Falcons travel all the way to San Fran, and they got it done. They beat an 11-3 49ers team. Great win for them.
Yeah, I was talking to Douglas about this before. The Falcons arguably have the two best wins in the league this season at San Fran and at New Orleans. But they're horrible. I mean, it doesn't really make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand.
If you're San Fran, maybe they overlooked Atlanta. I don't really know. But that's a game you got to win. I'm sure the boys will be ready to bounce back this week. Got a Saturday night game. Who are they playing in that one? Not looking at the schedule right now. But I know all three games on Saturday should be pretty good.
Yeah, very good games.
So, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Yeah, good call. Good call, Brian. And it's a game they got to win. If the NFC West still alive, they got that showdown with Seattle in week 17, but not a great showing from San Fran this past week.
Yeah, completely agreed. Moving on to week 16, one of the highlight games, it's on Saturday, actually, one of the three games on Saturday. Bills travel to New England to play the Patriots. That's going to be a battle, I think.
I think this is really the game where the Bills can cement themselves as, like, that team in their division now. The Patriots have been showing signs of weakness all season, losing tough games against some real tough teams, and the Bills have just been able to win most of their games this season. If they can beat the Patriots, I think they're the team to beat in the division now.
Yeah, honestly, do the Bills, they take the division if they win this game, right? Right?
Tied record, so yeah, they probably
and
yeah.
They don't have the head, did they split?
It's divisional record is first, so they'd each have one loss, I think, in the division.
I don't know.
And yeah, then they loss, split the head-to-head. I don't really know how it would come down to something.
I think
I just know
it goes conference record.
Okay.
So whoever has the better conference record at the end of the day. But the Bills are legit. They're for real. They had a big win Sunday night against the Steelers. Tough one for me to watch. Just due to the incompetence of the offensive coordinator, Randy Fichtner, I just don't understand some of the play selection with a lead and your fourth string quarterback in there. You have James Conner and one of the best offensive lines in the league, and you can't hold the lead like that. But a big win for the Bills, and they're alive. And, I mean, good for them. They have a chance to win that AFC East.
They have a sick defense, the Bills, really.
Ridiculous.
Which Edmonds is their linebacker?
Oh.
They've
got Trey. Terrell.
He is a beast. He played amazing against the Steelers this Sunday. And Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels were all over him. I feel like every other play, they were talking about him. Chris hasn't been as bad this year.
No, he's been good.
I still don't like the guy, but
dude, his slide in the beginning of Sunday Night Football
was electric.
It's one of the eight wonders.
I gotta
say,
9.9 out of 10 this week, no doubt.
So good.
Yeah,
but also about that Bills D, Tre'Davious White, man.
Beast.
I think at this point in time, Stephon Gilmore is probably the consensus number one corner in football. But for me, I'm putting Tre'Davious White at 1B, number two. I mean, this guy's running receivers routes for them, as Chris Collinsworth said on Sunday night. He's really, if you talk about a lockdown corner, he is a lockdown corner, and he's going to be something that opposing teams do not want to deal with for many years to come in this league.
And Doug was talking a little bit about the Steelers. Steelers should have an easy game this week playing the New York Jets, the worst
but
team
they
in the
won't.
League. It's the worst team in the league, Brian. We have to accept it at this point.
They are the worst team in the league. Although Jamal Adams, despite missing a couple games, had a very solid season, just named a pro bowler with the most sacks in the league, 8.5 sacks on the season, and most sacks by a defensive back this season. But the rest of the team is just terrible. Like, there's really no bright spot outside of him. There are no players performing the way that they should be. And the Steelers basically have been handed the win before they even step onto the field.
Well, I think that the Jets have one thing going for them, and it's their quarterback, Sam Darnold. You know, you have your franchise guy, just got to build better offensive line around him, give him some weapons. And I think that I keep saying it every year. I mean, every time they come into the season, they seem to fill a lot of the spots that are question marks, and then they just don't pan out, or it's just not as productive. They have a couple key players. You said Adams, Darnold, Le'Veon's still there. Robbie Anderson's a legit receiver, but they just got to put it together. But in terms of the Steelers, it's very Steeler-esque in the Tomlin regime and his time as the coach to drop a game to the Jets on the road here.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets win this game.
I don't know.
I wouldn't. It reminds me a lot of the Raiders game when the Raiders came into New York and the Jets killed them 34-3. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that just because how bad the Steelers looked on Sunday night. Their offense was terrible. I think the Jets can handle it. I mean, look, are the Jets going to win? Maybe. I don't know. I didn't think the Jets played that bad against Baltimore. I'll tell you that much. I watched that game in its entirety. I did not see. The Jets' offense looked good. That's a very good Ravens defense. Darnold looked very good with the exception of a bad mistake right before the half. Le'Veon actually ran the ball okay. We couldn't stop the Ravens like at all. The Ravens' offense. But no one stops the Ravens'
exactly.
offense. I wasn't disappointed with the way the Jets played, despite this final score, despite any of that. There were a lot of positives to take away from that game, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Jets come out strong this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be in the building, and I'm not such a great luck charm. 0-2 in my football career when I attend a game, so hopefully it doesn't go to 0-3.
Horrendous.
It's really embarrassing.
Horrendous average.
You know what? I just shouldn't go. That's really what the fact is. But I'm hoping the Steelers get the win because they're locked into the sixth wild card at this point, and Saints, as we'll move on to the next game here, play Tennessee, Titans.
That's going to be a solid game. Another solid game for Tennessee this week.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big matchup for the Titans going up against the high-powered offense of the Saints. Congratulations, Drew Brees.
What a beast.
Tank.
I mean, does it with all class, too.
Oh, and also another person on the Saints. We haven't talked about yet, Michael Thomas. I mean, one drop the whole season?
He's so good.
He's a beast. And if you have him on your fantasy team, you should be lucky because he's insane.
Top three fantasy pick next year.
Locking in.
No doubt. No doubt.
Brian's not aboard the train.
I know he's not.
No, I'm fully aboard the Michael Thomas train. I just still think DeAndre Hopkins is better than him. That's all. Like, no, I think Michael Thomas is the second best receiver. I mean, this year, Michael Thomas was better. Okay. I'm still taking Hopkins before Thomas. I just have more faith in Hopkins.
Fair assessment.
It's his guy.
That's all it is. I mean, look, I love Michael Thomas still. Don't get me wrong. He's, in my mind, still very clearly the second best receiver in the league. It's just, I'm a big Hopkins guy. That's all it is.
All right. Last game on week 16, Packers go to Minnesota to play the Vikings, 8:15 Monday night. Ben, what do you got for that one?
I'm excited for that game. I mean, the Packers, what are they, 11-3? I mean, they've been flying extremely under the radar for an 11-3 team. They haven't really been blowing anyone out. They've been winning a lot of games ugly. But Aaron Rodgers is still there. Matt LaFleur, you got to credit him, or as Stephen A. likes to say, Matt LaFleur. But you got to credit him for his coaching job this year. 11-3, definitely flying under the radar, but they have a chance to make a major statement Monday night and really get themselves the inside track for a potential home field in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what Aaron Jones does that game since he got snubbed from the Pro Bowl this year.
That was a big snub.
Yeah, you know what else was a big snub? Stephon Diggs.
I
think it was a pretty big snub.
No. Are you taking him over who?
Look who made the Pro Bowl in the NFC. It was Julio, Michael Thomas. Help me out here.
And it was the two box receivers.
Yeah, and it was the two.
Yeah, but they're
two.
They're
like
hurt.
They had to. They're hurt now, so Diggs might end up getting in. But
Diggs had a great season.
That could open up a spot.
I think Diggs should be the first guy in there. We'll see what happens. But
yeah,
him,
I mean
him or DJ Moore, who's also had a
DJ
very
Moore.
Good
I think
year.
Has been better than Diggs this year. DJ Moore has been fantastic.
Two Maryland Terrapins wide receiver. You?
Yeah, I mean I don't think we can underestimate the importance of this game for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, sitting at 10-4, Packers at 11-3, a win by the Vikings ties them up there. And, you know, Minnesota looked lost midway through the season. I asked the question on my little hour-long radio spot that we got, Z89 Radio up at Syracuse. Don't have to give it a listen. It's a top 40s pop hit show. We fit in a little sports talk for about 5 minutes. But I asked the question, where is Minnesota in or out? And they picked in. And sitting at 10-4, they're in the second wild card spot, and a win here would knot them up with the Packers with a chance to get into the top four.
And if Kirk Cousins goes in, the game's in Green Bay, correct? If is it?
No, the game's in Minnesota.
Oh, the game's in Minnesota. But either way, if Kirk Cousins on primetime goes onto his home field, takes down Aaron Rodgers, really gets the inside track for potentially the NFC North. I mean, that guy would put all really haters. He'd silence all the haters. I mean, the guy has had so many doubters in his career from the fact that he can't perform on primetime, which, I mean, it's true. He had a good game against the Redskins on Thursday night this year, but the Redskins are awful. Can't perform on primetime.
He's 0-8 on Monday night.
Yeah, he's awful on Monday night. So he's really got a chance to change the narrative. Those are the words I'm looking for here. And definitely a big opportunity for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings at home in a game which they should really go into feeling they have the better team and they should win that game.
All right. I think that's enough for the NFL. Let's move on to the next segment, the NBA. The Brooklyn Nets beat probably one of the worst teams in the NBA last night, 108-101 in overtime. I just have to say, in overtime. So
did Kyrie play?
He did not play, but I still don't think they should have put. Still don't think that it should have been that close of a game.
I mean, it was the ugliest game of all time until the fourth quarter in overtime. The Nets should have won in regulation. Then the Pelicans went on a 10-2 run to close it out. But the Nets ended up dominating the Pelicans in overtime. Spencer Dinwiddie, I mean, I think he's an all-star this year, personally. We'll see what happens. He's really been carrying the team with Kyrie out. I think they're 11-5 without him. I'm not really sure. My Wi-Fi is kind of iffy here because I don't go here anymore. But
I had that same problem. No service for me. Yeah, ridiculous, despicable.
Ridiculous. Joe Harris had a good game last night. Gets a lot of heat from my Uncle Barry. But he was pretty good. Made a lot of big shots down the stretch last night. But sitting here wondering about Kyrie Irving, the guy's been day-to-day for the last 15 games. It's enough. Either play or don't. Let us know. Come on.
I can't wait till Kevin Durant comes in. We're going to be beast.
Yeah, see Kyrie come in first, though. Kyrie was killing it early in the year before this 15-day day-to-day thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Net fans knew this season was going to be decent. Solid, I mean, solid. You guys have a couple really stud players on your roster, Dinwiddie, Kyrie, obviously, and Durant, obviously, out the season. But next season's your year. You know, you guys have Kyrie and KD playing together on the same court. Should be magical with a couple other, you know, possible all-star all-star players. But let's go to the other team in New York. The New York Knicks have won three of their last four. They put up 143 points against, I'll say that Atlanta's the worst team in the league. The 6-22 Atlanta Hawks, led by three Maryland Terrapins in Fernando Herter and
Herter's
give me the last one. Alex Len, correct. Correct. So, big win for the Knicks. I was actually in attendance. Maybe the best game the Knicks have played in the last 5 years. Can we say that?
Probably. You put up 143 points. It's under. You can go ahead, Constantine.
Yeah, it's a fair assessment. I was just gonna say the Knicks have not been good in the last 5 years, and this was truly a big win, albeit against a pretty crappy team.
Yeah, and you look at the Hawks. That's out of Vince Carter, the wily veteran there in Atlanta. It's pretty much, you're looking at an all-college team here. You're looking at a bunch of college star players. Trae Young, who's actually turned into a very good NBA player from Oklahoma. Cam Reddish from Duke. You get the three Maryland guys, Bruno, Kevin, and Alex Len from Maryland. Who else? John Collins was great at Wake Forest. UVA has DeAndre Hunter. And, I'm not a Hawks expert, but it's a bunch of college star players there. And they really don't, they've been awful. I mean, they should have been exciting this year.
Yeah.
At least been competitive. But we haven't been seeing that. And you got to think they're missing one more piece there, really, a veteran type of guy who can lead that team right now.
No, yeah, I think they're just really young, and they're sort of just accumulating all this young talent, and eventually they'll see who can play and who can't play, and then they'll figure it out. But Trae Young, 42 points last night. Great player. Really just so spectacular to watch on the court. Really just so gifted offensively. Terrific player.
Most years he would have been the rookie of the year with what he did last season, and he came on stronger in the second half, I think, than even Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I think that's
it. Just Doncic throughout the course of the entire season was better than Young was.
Yeah, Doncic,
and therefore Doncic ended up winning rookie of the year. But most years Trae Young would have ended up winning that. So he's definitely a budding star in the league right now.
Yeah, Doncic was really consistent last year, and that's probably why he took away rookie of the year. But this year he's just been consistently great the whole year.
Unreal.
He's hurt. Unreal. He's hurt now. Yeah, unfortunately, he's hurt now. Such a great player. If you get a chance to watch him play the game of basketball, so like gifted, such a smart player, great court vision, just a natural scorer. He's gonna be taking away a lot of MVPs in years to come. Maybe not this year because Giannis is having a tremendous season.
Don't sleep on LeBron either.
Yeah, don't sleep.
Don't sleep on LeBron.
You can never sleep on King James.
But I have a.
He's still the king.
I have a Luka Doncic take. I think at some point within the next 5 years, he will establish himself as the best player in the league. I think he's a generational talent, and he was definitely overlooked when he was drafted. You look at what he did. He won the MVP of the EuroLeague as an 18-year-old kid. It's a highly competitive basketball league, and playing against grown men to win most valuable player in that league. And what he's done in the NBA, truly remarkable. I mean, said it a lot on the podcast last year. It's a great word, remarkable. But that's my Luka Doncic take right there. We'll revisit this in 5 years and see where we're at.
Moving on to the next segment, the NHL. Some puck and some ice. A little bit of that. A little bit of this.
Did the Islanders play last night?
The Islanders did play last night.
No, it was sarcastic.
The Islanders did play last night. It was murder.
Didn't shellacking. Look it. Absolute pounding.
Yeah.
Our goalies just did not play well. Grice and Varlamov both had a chance to play. Grice did not have a great game. Neither did Varlamov when he
Point
came in.
0.667 save percentage.
For
both goalies. So
Lost 8-3. Brutal. And we're going to forget about that night. And we're going to move on to tomorrow night. At 7 o'clock, we play the Bruins. This could probably be one of the hardest games of the season. Bruins, very strong team, as usual. And hopefully we get that win away.
For sure. I mean, I'm an avid Islanders follower. Can't say I know a lot about the Chell. I know the Bruins are having a great year. I know the Islanders are also having a great year. And this is the type of win, or the type of game, that really defines who you are. Coming off a major blowout, can you bounce back against a team like Boston? And if you come out with a win, an overtime loss, a strong performance, the fans will be feeling good about the team no matter what, I think.
Yeah, just a quick nugget here. Bruins 12-1-6 at home. Isles 9-5-1 on the road. So it's
not quite an even matchup there. Just looking.
I mean, the Bruins are almost unbeatable on home ice. They've as I said, the one regulation loss at home. But for the Islanders, second in the Metropolitan would be a monumental win for them after a pretty embarrassing loss to the Predators, but who were actually playing some pretty good hockey. But the Bruins are definitely top three in the NHL at this point due to their play. They have some real studs on that team.
They got a top three player on the NHL in Pasternak.
It's ridiculous. Can't watch it anymore, but it's unbelievable. So are the Islanders, so should be a real great game.
And, Doug, I know that you and Constantine are Rangers fans. You want to tell us what's happening with the Rangers this year?
Not a lot.
Not a lot, right?
The bread man.
The bread man.
I mean,
Adam Fox.
Adam Fox's tank.
As a Ranger fan, before I let Constantine go, yeah. I am actually pleased with this team. I am learning things about this roster that we were told it was going to be a rebuild. It's a rebuild with some studs. Okay, Mika's a stud. Panarin's...
Mika's only played like 15 games and he has 20 points.
Exactly.
That's unreal.
Panarin's a top 10 player in the league, maybe top 5, honestly. He's just so unbelievable.
Sick hands.
When you watch him, he's just
mesmerizing.
It doesn't get better than him. But it's a rebuild. We're learning who's going to be on the team for the next 5-10 years and who we're going to have to cut loose, what moves we're going to have to make. That's what a rebuild is. I'm pleased.
Quick question. Is my boy Adam Fox a part of the rebuild?
Adam Fox is going to be on the Rangers for the next 10 years. And if he's not, I'll freak out.
I hope he's a Rangers lifer. He's so offensively dynamic. He can dangle through 5 guys at once. He's got a sick clapper. He's honestly going to be one of the best defensemen in the league. Very, very soon.
Camp Equinoccialum right there.
I don't disagree. Sleepaway camp. Highly recommend.
I did not know that. Rangers have a camp Equinocc guy. Look at that.
Yeah, legends. Yeah.
Played in the Gordon Cup.
Yeah, Adam Fox, Long Island kid, too, from Jericho.
So. Question, did they win the Gordon Cup that year? Did you guys get it or no?
We won the Gordon Cup in 2010.
Was that the year with him? Or?
He was a part of that team.
I would think if there's an NHL guy.
That's got to be one of the best Gordon Cup teams ever. I mean, I don't know the other Gordon Cup teams. I only saw one.
How many other Gordon Cup teams have NHL players on them? So
that's true.
You know,
but
Johnny Laz.
To win the Gordon Cup, you got to be pretty special. That team also had a college hockey player in Johnny Lazarus, a couple other great camp legend guys. But I mean, it's got to be up there with one of the best Gordon Cup teams ever.
All right, let's move on to college sports.
Oh yeah.
First, let's start off with some college basketball. I know you guys are college students now.
I want to hear those college football.
No, college basketball first, because I know Ohio State's actually playing well this season in basketball. Surprisingly,
That's true.
Took everyone by surprise. Not everyone. They're a pretty solid team, Big Ten team, obviously. But first, I just want to talk about Maryland real quick. Tomorrow night, Ben and I going to the Prudential Center.
Yes, in Newark, New Jersey.
To
Prudential Center.
Maryland's playing Seton Hall.
Seton Hall, yes.
Seton Hall.
Good. It's all good.
We're
going to beat them anyways. It doesn't matter.
They're not ranked anymore, actually.
They're not ranked. Their two best players are out for the time being. Sandro Mamushkevili, their second best player. European.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I probably bought that.
It's a great name.
European
guy. It is
guy.
A great name.
Threat from the inside, the outside. He's out. And then Miles Powell, obviously.
Concussion.
One of the leading candidates for player of the year. He will be out for the... foreseeable future. He got concussed at Rutgers this past Saturday. He goes up to his coach mid-game. He asks him, hey, why are we practicing at Rutgers? So you can tell how discombobulated he was. He should be out for a while. That seems like a massive concussion.
Brain damage, most likely.
Screw your head back on, sir.
We're going to see a lot of Maryland fans there tomorrow night, though, right? I mean, I figure at least 50.
Oh, it's going to be loud. Loud as heck.
Loud and proud.
Good for you. Go Terps.
Anything on... any other college basketball?
Wake me up in March. That's really what you have to say to me.
Wake me up after the Super Bowl. That's how it is with me usually.
Especially with Syracuse basketball. I mean, it's almost it's unwatchable offensively. And the zone is not as effective. 2-3, not working as well as past years. And the offense is just, I mean, chuck a shot up from three and hope it goes in. It's terrible. It's not good basketball. Let's hand it over to somebody who actually has a decent team.
Brian, come on. You got anything for us for Ohio State basketball?
I'm not going to lie. I haven't been to a game yet.
All right.
I haven't been able to get out to one, but I know that we're rolling. Even though Minnesota was a little setback this weekend, every team seems to be getting these setbacks, though. So it's not like it's just Ohio State. What is it? Is Auburn the only undefeated team left?
Auburn's like there's 4 undefeated teams.
Auburn's like the one.
Auburn's,
big,
like,
Auburn,
the, Auburn's,
Auburn's,
Auburn's
like the only
one
that
matters.
It's Auburn. Liberty,
yeah. See
Duquesne, and why am I forgetting the name?
Come on, man.
San Diego State.
Actually, I knew San Diego State too. You know what? They're great at football
too. Great job,
Doug.
They have a good
San Diego State. 3 losses in football. Big bowl game. I picked them in my
Bowl Mania.
In my Capital One Bowl Mania.
Capital One.
Uh huh. A lot of money on the line. $80 with the college boys. Uh-huh.
All right. Now you guys are talking about Bowl Mania. Let's get right to it. College football.
Oh yeah.
Heisman. Joe Burrow. We all saw that coming. Right?
He absolutely deserved it. This is coming from somebody who goes to the Ohio State University. So Justin Fields and Chase Young are. I watch them play every weekend. Yeah, Joe Burrow definitely deserved it. Like, it wasn't close.
Also, one of the greatest speeches I've ever seen.
Best one I've seen, honestly. Yeah.
Best Heisman speech I've seen. Yeah. Guy couldn't get the words out of his mouth. He thanked his entire offensive line by name.
Coach O.
Coach O got real emotional talking about Coach O. I mean, that guy's just... It's a salt of the earth human being. You can tell he's really just an unreal guy. Coach O is an unreal guy. Joe Burrow. That program, I mean, it's in the right place. It seems to be surrounded by the right people, and they'll be competing for a national championship.
Totally. I mean, as I could see, we're going to get into that playoff. But in terms of Burrow and the AFC North, the quarterbacks in that division, it's going to be scary going up against them. As a Steeler fan, you got Lamar Jackson, MVP this season in the NFL, the Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow, probably going to be a Cincinnati Bengal, and Baker Mayfield, we know he has skill. Just hasn't been showing up this year. But those are three real quarterbacks. Hopefully, Big Ben can finally shave his beard and take off.
He got fat.
Off about 30 pounds. Yeah.
I mean, he looked like Santa Claus out there.
He looks like Thor.
It was crazy.
I think it's the facial hair, though. But totally.
No, but I'm going to plug part of my take here. One of the best podcasts in the world, besides Colts Corner, obviously.
Yeah.
But
second best.
Second best.
Usually, people like when they get older, they grow beards to cover up the fact that they're fat. For Ben, it's doing the exact opposite.
Yeah.
No, I think he got fat and grew a beard. I don't think it was. Yeah. I don't think it was like the beard
makes
him fat.
He's not
going
to shave it until he throws football.
They zoomed out on him, and it wasn't just his face that looked fat. Like it was. I mean, he was round.
It's a fat guy.
I think the thing is, Big Ben is big.
Yeah.
He's
always
big
been
man,
big.
But I think he definitely gained some.
You know
weight.
What?
A couple too many pound cakes.
I think he's got one taste of the Twinkies, and now I don't know if he's going to want to go back to that NFL football diet. So.
Hey, Duck Hodges is quack quack quack. Let's do it, baby.
Yeah, he clearly hasn't recovered from that Thanksgiving meal. But
had a couple Thanksgiving meals over that.
Now moving on from Heisman to the college football playoffs. We obviously know who's in the college football playoffs at this point. Brian, it's big. Ohio State, two seed, right? Three?
Two seed. Clemson favored in that game. Not surprised. Yeah. Clemson hasn't lost in 30 games, and they proved themselves last year. They're the defending champs. They're undefeated this season. They haven't played a close game since week four, when they played UNC. So yeah, Clemson's a huge test, but you got to beat the best to be the best. So I'm not worried about my Buckeyes. I think they're going to go in. It's going to be a tight game. Buckeyes going to come out with the win. Play LSU. Buckeyes come out with the win, baby. OH.
Yeah. I mean, there's three number one teams here in the tournament.
Absolutely.
I mean, Ohio's. I mean,
three number ones, one number seven.
I've never seen so many teams that you can make an argument for the number one seed, but I've never seen a four seed like as bad as Oklahoma. Like they look terrible.
They're atrocious.
They looked terrible against Baylor. I mean, they almost didn't pull it out. It was their third string quarterback. Baylor would have been better as a four seed, honestly. They would give LSU possibly a run for their money. I don't think that game's gonna be close at all.
I mean, the tough matchup for Ohio State is that they're going up against an undefeated team in Clemson. Who have they really played? That's the thing. ACC team really not up to the level of competition as some of the Big Ten teams, SEC. But to me, Chase Young's going to take over. He's a winner. Ohio State's a winning team. And it's going to be LSU, Ohio State in the championship. And that's just going to be a battle. I'm excited for that one. But I don't want to count out Clemson because they have Trevor Lawrence and they've got a great team. But I think that Chase Young's the deciding factor. You have two out of the four Heisman Trophy candidates, two runner-ups going up against
Clemson. And it could have been three. Dobbins is having an incredible season, but he doesn't play any second half because Ohio State's winning by so many points. I really think Ohio State's going to win this game, but I very much think it's going to be close, and I totally wouldn't count out Clemson. They're very, very good this season.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fun.
They're incredible. I mean, Clemson's offense, they have so many weapons. It's Lawrence, it's Etienne, it's
Etienne's
Ross.
A beast.
It's, what's his name, Higgins. They have a ton of weapons on offense. We don't know if they have such a great defense because they haven't played anyone, but I know for a fact that their offense is elite. Hopefully Chase Young shows up. Todd McShay said on First Take yesterday, Chase Young is better than both of Bosa's. I was watching that, and I have to agree. I mean, the guy's he's an absolute monster.
He's an absolute beast. He's the kind of guy that's going to affect the football program so much that he can literally transform a defense just by being on it. Like the Giants looking to have that second pick probably this year. Chase Young is the kind of guy who's going to turn that defense from one of the worst in the league to a mediocre defense just by being on the field. He's so athletic. He knows the game. And it's going to be a treat to watch him in the NFL.
I mean, he's going to be a great piece on whatever team he is. If he's on the Giants, good for them. They'll improve somewhat, but they're a lost cause at this point. They need so much.
They're so bad.
It's really sad, honestly, to see. I mean, I'm happy for Eli Manning. Great win. End your career. It's over. Great job. You're 500. But it's time.
I mean, I also don't think Daniel Jones is the guy there.
No, I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying, and you take your win, march off, 500 career record, Hall of Famer with two Super Bowls.
Debatable.
Love it. All right, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. I agree. Hall of Famer.
Come on, he is.
But
he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Before we get totally off the rails, I just want to give my college football playoff predictions for whatever it's worth. LSU 55. Over at Oklahoma, 31. It's going to be a blowout. Game won't be too entertaining. Unless you want to watch Joe Burrow. I mean, the guy's going to put on a show. I got Ohio State over Clemson in an overtime thriller. And then I got LSU over Ohio State in the final. Sorry, Brad.
It's all right. It's all right. I mean, you're a big-time Joe Burrow guy.
I'm also a big Ohio State guy, though, too.
Uh-huh.
That looks to be a very close game there, actually. I actually have Clemson going all the way. Their offense just so explosive. They are not in one of the most competitive conferences, but I just really think that Trevor Lawrence is one of the best quarterbacks in college football. Maybe not this season, but he's just so dynamic. I think he's just has that ability.
He is a beast.
I think the only thing we can all 100% agree on is that LSU is going to beat Oklahoma. Right,
oh,
like
yeah.
There's, I don't have any doubt in my mind about that.
How is Oklahoma going to stop LSU?
Jalen Hurts. The runs on Jalen Hurts. Then,
yeah. My dad says don't sleep on Oklahoma because Jalen Hurts is an LSU killer. He was an LSU killer when he was on Alabama.
Jalen Hurts is a beast.
Alabama had the best defense year in and year out.
Exactly. I can't see Oklahoma winning that game. I can see Clemson winning. I can see Ohio State winning, but I just can't see Oklahoma beating LSU in this one. And even if they found a way to pull it off, I can't see them beating the winner of Ohio State Clemson. I think the winner of Ohio State Clemson is going to win it all. Yeah. That's the more battle-tested team that you'll see. So,
yeah. Jalen Hurts seems like a great guy, great person, but like I just don't see him translating to the NFL or getting this big win over LSU here, though. I think unless he's drafted by the Patriots, then he's not going to see too much success in the league, which is unfortunate. I have a lot of admiration for that guy and his story with Alabama and Tua and all that.
Yeah, and I wanted to see Alabama, Oklahoma this year.
Would have been must.
It would have been.
Yeah, that would have been.
Oh, that would have been crazy.
Legendary championship.
I mean, Saban versus Hurts just would have been incredible. But
I would have liked
instead
to see
we got
Tua
the Buckeyes,
Hurts
and
even.
I like it.
Tua versus Hurts.
Yeah, Tua also.
All right, I think it's enough of college football. Our last segment of the podcast, topic of the week. We have two of them this episode. First off, my question is, what is the best brand of water? There's lots of them. We got Dasani.
It's definitely not Dasani.
We got Dasani. We got Fiji.
Which is gross, by the way.
Fiji's unreal, but like, is that really like? It's not.
Fiji's not the best.
It's not common man water.
I think that's kind of people water.
How is it not Poland Spring?
Poland Spring is an establishment.
Poland Spring is the water bottles of all water bottles. Like,
Poland Spring's Poland, the goat water.
All right, if we're talking about the best water, though, I'm not going to pick the one that we rely on every day for my daily water.
Yeah,
you know,
like
that would
Fiji
be Poland Spring. But yeah, if we're going into this, you know, Fiji's definitely up there. Fiji is classy, rich person water. So obviously that's very impressive. But I'm gonna go off the rails a bit and say Smart Water.
You know, that is bold.
That's a hot take.
You get the big bottles, you know?
Yeah, for
Smart
sure.
Smart Water's got the big ones.
You remember the school used to sell the core water bottles?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Also, Nestle. Pure Life, phenomenal water. I had one of those today.
Not a fan.
I had one of those today. Come on, you gotta love that.
All I know is that the market at school for me, one of the places you go, they got Dasani water and they got Smart Water, and I know if I have enough money left over from the week, I'm getting the Smart Water because it's worth it.
Maryland's got Aquafina. Big Pepsi school.
Aquafina.
Yeah, Maryland also has Pepsi. Terrible. Horrendous.
Aquafina flies directly under the radar.
That is why I will not be going to the University of Maryland because of Pepsi. All
right. let's go back in a few years and look at this.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe you'll change that. But moving on to the next topic of the week, the final one. Is there a possibility that the Earth is flat?
No.
No.
I got to go against you on this one right now.
No, I think so too, but like I just put it out.
Come on. That's the question.
I'm sorry.
I got a good one.
I respect it.
I got a good one. Top three athletes in New York. Any New York team, any sport. Ooh. Who are the top three athletes in New York?
DeGrom.
Thank you.
Aaron Judge. Matt Barzal.
Well, actually, no, you can't do that.
I mean, come on. Those are just the first two that came to mind.
We have Jamal Adams.
Jamal Adams. Yeah,
Jamal Adams, Saquon Barkley.
Top three is two. I'm just naming
Jamal
athletes
Adams,
that come to
Saquon
mind.
Barkley.
We can rank them after.
Three is going
to
have Jamal
had
and
to,
Saquon.
They've had to have played a game for. Let's say they've had
so
to
we're
play
not
a,
including
they've
KD
had to play
on
a season.
One.
You can't include KD or Kyrie.
Okay.
Okay.
If it's season, then not Garrett Cole, obviously. If it's a season, then probably I got to go with DeGrom. Who else we got in here? Like Jack Eichel, technically. He's New
can't
York.
Count Buffalo.
But yeah, I don't like. Yeah, Buffalo, basically Canada.
New York City market.
New York City market. Yeah, then we got Jamal.
I'm going to say.
Let's rank him. Let's do a collective
and
rank.
And then Saquon.
I got to go with Saquon and Jamal.
Be top three. He can't be top three.
Why? I mean,
he can't
I think
be.
So.
He's
I think
not proven
Saquon.
At all.
Douglas, welcome back, buddy. What are
we talking about? We're talking about the top
three. We're doing
three
topic of the week. Hold on. He's got to answer the first question. What's your favorite water bottle brand?
Poland Spring.
Great one.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Now we're doing.
We said Polish Spring as well. But
I was Smart Water.
We're ranking the top three athletes in New York here, and these guys are saying Saquon should be there. I don't think he should be.
Well, who's your top three then?
I'm saying we have Jamal Adams, we have Saquon Barkley, and I think Jacob DeGrom.
Hey,
is third.
Okay, Jacob DeGrom has to be in the top three.
Right. He won two straight Cy Youngs.
He's
got to be there.
Lock.
Uh-huh.
Jamal Labor? Adams. I mean, it's just because it's football season. We're saying that though. Like,
well, and last year. I think he's the best safety in the league.
I think so too.
Other,
I think so too.
I don't
Fine.
Think there's any
Jamal
other player
Adams,
you
I love
could say
the guy.
Is
the he
best
be up
at
there.
His position.
I don't think it's Saquon though. I think you gotta like, I don't know.
Like,
what has Saquon done? You look.
No,
but
athlete wise, if we're talking athlete, like,
not
physique,
athletic ability, like in terms of top professional athletes.
Right, that's why DeGrom's on there. You know, he wouldn't be there.
Well, then I mean, you gotta.
I mean, you look at a guy like Matt Barzal, who led a team like the Islanders to the playoffs last year.
I mean, you gotta look at Judge.
No expectations.
Glaber.
Judge has gotta be. I'd probably put Judge at three.
I can't take.
Well,
Glaber.
I mean, he's 6'7".
He's
just
a beast.
He's just a man.
I can't. I can't. I can't convince myself to put Glaber in there. Though.
No, fair enough. Yeah. Not yet, at least. But we'll see how that turns. But I like Saquon in there just because. I mean, have you seen the guy's legs?
I'd go with Aaron Judge over him.
He's a monster.
I would give anything for Saquads, honestly.
Yeah, how can you
say quads?
Saquads too.
Never
hey,
heard that term.
Hey. Can we just broaden the list to top five and add them all? No
like
ranking.
Idea.
No
top,
ranking.
Top 10. Everyone love everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's in. Everyone in.
And
hey,
no
Pete Alonso,
order.
You're in. Welcome to the
Get
club,
Petey
brother.
In there. Yeah, Polar Bear. Let's do it.
He's a big man, but he's a great player.
The bread man. Oh, no, it hasn't been a full season.
Not
we
yet.
Said,
but
we said it's got to be a full
special
season.
Player,
so,
special player.
Yeah.
Special. Adam Fox, I love you. I love you, Adam.
Adam Fox.
And I have to say something. After that horrendous topic of the week that I stated a couple minutes ago, I think I got to do another one. just one more question. And this might be horrendous too. I don't know. I don't know how this is gonna go. But is cereal a soup?
No.
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 No way.
No, it's cereal.
It's a bad question.
I've never heard that
Next.
Question in my life.
Did it's we like do the flat one yet?
What do you mean? Yeah, that was the one he said was horrendous.
Oh. Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, we all just said it's not flat.
Guys, there's scientific evidence.
I got one.
Open your eyes and let's go.
I got one. Will we ever see human life? Outside the Earth.
Well, we're not going, human
we're going
life,
back
life.
To
the theory cast.
Yeah.
No, the multi... Whatever.
Theory cast. No, the conspiracy
I
cast.
I took an astronomy course this semester.
You think anyone's
going to
live on
I gotta
the moon
say,
one day?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I say yes.
We can do it.
Yeah.
I think we can make it happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I think there might be.
I mean, crazier things have happened on the back nine.
For sure. 100%.
Yeah, totally.
All right. After my two horrendous topic of the week, so I think we got to wrap this one up. Unfortunate.
Do you want me to thank everyone?
You know what? It's been a while.
For old time's sake.
For old time's sake. Let's do this, all right?
All right. So, as always, we would like to thank the following people. Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens, their audience now listens every Thursday. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards this podcast setup. Really generous from them. I'm Ben Dixon alongside Brian Flatow, Doug Zatuka, Mikey Stats, not with us today.
We miss you, Mikey
In
Stats.
Arizona, we miss you, Mikey.
Didn't say that.
Doing well.
We do, yeah.
Ryan Dixon, the little bro, Constantine here. And I will not be seeing you next week, unfortunately. But so I'll let one of you guys take the closing.
And we will be seeing you next week.
Next week.